Praise God for music. When I get to heaven, heaven's going to be surprised because they don't know how much music I've got stored up in me. And when I get there, God's going to let it out. And boy, will the angels, somebody said the angels are going to weep when you cry, but not because they're sad, because they're surprised. That's why they'll weep. Amen. Praise the Lord for music and the way that God allows us to take the message places that maybe we'd never be able to get it without music. And I'm glad for that. In your Bibles tonight, if you will, please. I came up to the pulpit a little bit early because God began to speak to my heart. I want to preach a message tonight about rejoicing. And there's just some things we need to understand about rejoicing if we're going to do it the way God wants us to. So take our Bibles tonight. We're going to go to a couple different places. To rejoice means to experience joy and gladness to a high degree. Anybody can be a little bit happy or a little bit joyous, but to rejoice is the dictionary definition of rejoice is to experience joy and gladness at a high degree. Now, I want to take you to a couple places. First off, let's go in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, and I want you to go right to the very end of that chapter and note what God has written here. This is a testament to who actually was the person who put the ink on the paper, who put the pen to the paper to write this. And the Bible says it was written to the Philippians from Rome by Epaphroditus. Now, evidently, Epaphroditus was more or less the secretary, or he was the one who, the stenographer. He wrote down what Paul said. Now, we give Paul the credit for the book of Philippians because it starts out and says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. And so we understand that Paul is the human author. God gave it to him. He gave it to Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus wrote it down, and we read it today. But when we think about being happy, we think about rejoicing, we think about having a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, we think about a joy that is higher than normal, it's out of bounds, really, it's to a real high degree, we think about the Apostle Paul. Now, if you will, in the book of Philippians, you're still there, I hope, in chapter 4, let's go down through here just a little ways, and he says in verse number 3, he says of chapter 4, he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. And you say, well, what gives him the credentials to say that? Why would he be able to say that? So take your Bibles now and go to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And we find that I believe that this is the point in Paul's life when the book of Philippians was written, and he wasn't on a Caribbean cruise. He wasn't relaxing in the Bahamas. He wasn't on some Swiss mountainside counting the cows as they went up or down the mountain, depending on what time of year it was. He was in jail, being treated horrendously, and he says, the Bible says of him in chapter number 16 and verse number 25. Well, let's back up. Verse number 23. The Bible says, when they had laid many stripes upon them, upon Paul and Silas, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And then, of course, God sends the earthquake and frees them. And so here the Apostle Paul, when he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, he is not going past human possibilities with God's help. Amen. He's not passing by. He's not asking us to do something that we can't do if our relationship with the Lord Jesus is accurate in what it ought to be, what God wants it to be. In fact, I really believe that our joy stick, you know, he says, the Bible says, these things write I unto you that your joy might be full. Every once in a while, you probably pop the hood on your car and you reach in there and pull out the dipstick and you measure and see how much oil is in your system. And every once in a while, we ought to ask the Holy Spirit of God to check our joy system to find out how full it really is. Check it out and see if God is giving us, if we are receiving from God that which He'd have us to receive so that we can rejoice at all times. Now take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter number 5 for our jump-off spot tonight. And we're going to be traveling to several different portions of Scripture tonight in the manner of presenting the message, because we want you to be able to see it. We want you to be able to read it yourself, not just have it read to you. I thought that was very, very important for this subject. Matthew chapter number 5, and we're going to begin in verse number 11, and we're going to read only two verses for our text tonight. Verse number 11 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Now, let me stop here just a moment. The Bible says we are to rejoice. We're blessed when people talk about us and say bad things about us, if the bad things they say about us are false. If they're true, it's probably going to take some of the joy out of it. But if they're making accusations against us that are false, they ought to go off of us like rain off of a duck's back, and we ought to just rejoice in the Lord and count it honor that we're able to suffer for Him. Verse number 12 says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And so we find that Jesus here is recommending to us and commanding us that we be a happy people. When we think of rejoicing, we think of the Word of God, we think of the child of God, there's some things that come to mind if we've been a student of the Bible very long. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse number 10 pops into my mind real soon. The Bible says, then he said unto them, "Go your way and eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry," listen, "for the joy of the Lord is your strength." I believe sometimes we as God's people, we lack physical energy and spiritual strength because something went wrong in our connection between us and the Lord in the manner of just being happy, being joyous, being filled with the Spirit of God to the point that it just bubbles over. And the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. If we're not happy Christians, if we're not full of joy, we're bound, if the joy of the Lord is our strength, and the Bible testifies it is, and we don't have joy, we're going to be weaker than we could be if we had joy. Amen. Just seems like it's a natural course of things. And then in Proverbs chapter 17, and verse number 22, the Bible says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." And in the Brother Sutton rendition, it says, "And it's very much cheaper." A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and it's very much cheaper. Well, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And so maybe before we buy all these high-priced medicines and so forth, and no medicines. Man, you can't even buy Tylenol cheap anymore. You can't even get generic Tylenol cheap anymore. But maybe before we run off and fill a prescription at the drugstore, maybe we ought to ask God to fill us with joy. Maybe that'd just take care of some of those things. It doeth good like a medicine. And it doesn't tell us what medicine. It just says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Well, I wonder tonight if we realize the impact that rejoicing can and does have on our lives and the lives of people with whom we come in contact with. I want to share some thoughts with you on that tonight. And so the first thing we want to look at, go with me, if you will, to the book of Luke, chapter number 10. And again, don't lay your Bible down because you'll get lost if you do. We're going to be traveling to several different places tonight because the portion of Scripture was too long to put it into print and just read it off for you. So we're going to have you look at it. Jesus commands us to rejoice. And so if He commands us to rejoice and we don't, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Sin. Luke chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 17. Let me get over here to the right page.
Well, if you back up for just a little bit to verse number 1, the Bible says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them 2 by 2 before his face into every city whither he himself would come. And then in verse number 17, those that he had sent out are coming back now. And he says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. We need to just stop sometimes and say, Lord, I may have a flat tire. The car may not start. And by the way, mine didn't start when I got in it this morning to leave church. It goes click, and then it wouldn't even click. And praise God, it was just a bad battery connection. But I know the disappointment of things like that. I understand that. I've been there. I have done that. But, you know, instead of rejoicing in those things, maybe we ought to just rejoice. Maybe we ought to just stop sometimes, even in the midst of a problem. What would be wrong with if we were in the midst of a problem and we knew the devil was just trying our boot on, and we just sit down and start talking to Jesus about how thankful we are that we're saved. How thankful we are that our name's written down indelibly in the Lamb's Book of Life. That one day we did business with Jesus Christ in our sin, and we chose him over our sin, and he gave us eternal life instead of eternal damnation that we already had. He took our sin and gave us salvation. We ought to be able to rejoice in that. No matter how difficult our time is, no matter how damaging things are seem to be happening around us, we ought to be able to rejoice just in the fact that we know we're on our way to heaven. Amen. And then when we stop and think of all that it cost him, that we might be saved. Take your Bible now and go to the book of John, chapter number 14. John chapter 14. Someone says, I hope he stays in the New Testament. We're planning on doing that pretty much till we get to the book of Psalms a little bit later. But John chapter 14, and beginning in verse number 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice. Because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Jesus said, hey, listen. Jesus said, you ought to just be excited about me. You ought to be excited about my plan. You ought to be excited the fact that I am going away, but bless God, I'm coming again. Jesus said, even in the first part of the chapter, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Tell us that he's going to go to the Father's house, but if he goes, he's going to come again. And we ought to be able to rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's coming again. And then in verse number 3 of chapter 14, he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so the Bible testifies that it's commanded by Christ that I be a happy Christian. It's commanded by Christ that I have more joy days than I have sorrow days. And even in death, and I know we're speaking real close to death, and I understand that. And the Bible doesn't say that there's anything wrong with sorrow in death, but we need to be reminded sometimes that we sorrow not even as others who have no hope. There's a difference between a Christian who has hope and belief and the steadfast standard on the Word of God and a belief in the Word of God. His hope is different than a lost person's hope. His hope is different than a person who's not walking with the Lord's life is and their hope. And so we need to rejoice, and it's commanded by Christ. Secondly, we spoke this morning about Christ's credentials. We're going to speak for a little bit tonight about a Christian's credentials. When we go to the world and talk to the world about the Lord Jesus, and sometimes it's just so quick. It's so quick. When I was at the elevator yesterday with Brother Rollins on Friday, with Brother Rollins, I came out of the doctor's office and called the elevator up, and there was a couple there with a young teenage daughter, and they were looking around, and I don't know exactly where they're from. They spoke English, but they had an accent of some sort, and I saw them troubled about something, and I said, "Are you folks going down?" And they said, "Yes." And so they got on the elevator, and I pushed to the bottom level, and the dad said to the daughter, "Push number one," and so she did. So I stopped on number one, and I took out a tract that I had in my pocket, and I said, "Could I just share this with you?" I said, "I know you're troubled and you're having some difficulties, but maybe this will help." And I talked to them a little bit about Jesus, and it wasn't very long before the elevator door, when you don't let the elevator door go shut, it starts beeping. I mean, it sounds like a fire alarm going off. Womp, 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 womp. And in spite of that, this dad thanked me. He held the door open and thanked me for talking to him a little bit about the Lord Jesus. And I don't know where that'll go. I don't have any idea where that'll go, what God will do with that. One man sows and another man waters, but God gives the increase. And so we need to have a persona. We need to have that's a bad word. We need to have the Holy Spirit of God so living in us that talking about Jesus is like talking about our grandchildren. What grandma doesn't carry pictures of her grandchildren? Let me talk to you about my grandchildren. I mean, it's just natural. That's just grandma fodder. But we ought to be able to talk about the Lord Jesus that way. And so men are wise enough to give credentials to people in positions of authority. And so I believe that God has given us some credentials that we can show to the world. No, I don't mean something you pull out of your pocket and show to the world, say, "Ta-da, I'm a Christian." But let's notice what God says. First off, he tells us that difficulties don't change things. Difficulties don't matter. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now remember, we're commanded by Christ to rejoice, and now we're gonna see if God in his wisdom, and God in his grace, if he didn't give us some credentials that we could take with us as we walk with him, so that the world will know that we have something different. Chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense to anything in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying and yet, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." There's your credentials, child of God. There's your credentials. And the Bible says that those credentials come out when we are rejoicing, no matter what's going on around us. Now, I understand that you can become a dingbat with that. You can be silly. And you can be, silly, I guess is the right word. But at the same time, when Jesus is allowed to live his life unhampered, when the Holy Spirit of God is not quenched or not hindered in any way, there's just something about a child of God who's right with God as we go through troubles, that people see Jesus in those troubles and not all of our troubles. And we testify with those credentials that the difficulties don't matter. Next, we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, trying to keep things as close together as we can. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and beginning in verse number 9. And here we find that we're dependent. Verse number 9, the Bible says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And you remember the Apostle Paul had gone to, we think it was the Apostle Paul, he said whether in the flesh or out of the flesh, he didn't know. He knew a man above 14 years ago, whether in the flesh or out of the flesh, so forth. But he went to the third heaven, went to the very presence of God, and there he heard things and saw things that were unlawful for him to tell. And so he says in verse number 9 that as he sought the Lord for his eyesight, the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And so he says simply that we have a dependence in the matter. Our dependence is on Christ, and we're supposed to be a happy people. And then we want to see one other place on this matter about credentials in 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. You know, when you start talking about being a happy Christian and brilliant, having a good attitude and rejoicing in what Jesus has done and just being so thankful at every turn that you go to, when you start talking about that, somebody, either in this room tonight or somebody watching on live stream is saying, "But preacher, you don't understand. You don't understand. My situation is beyond normal. My situation is beyond the verses that you're reading. I'm different. I'm special. I get an exemption." No, an exemption is what you got when you didn't have to go to the military. An exemption is what you got when you didn't have to go to jury duty. You don't get an exemption from serving God. There are no exemptions from serving God. If God didn't want you to serve Him, He'd take you to heaven, get you out of this miserable world, put you in heaven where you could serve Him there without the hindrance of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and you and Him would both be happy all the time. But He gives no exemptions from serving Him. And so He tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse number 14, He says, "But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, if perchance we would suffer because of our righteousness, if perchance we would do something that was God-directed and God-led and God-fortified and God-financed if necessary, if we did something that was good and godly and we got in trouble for it," notice what it says, "but and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be ye troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear." Having a good conscience. Oh, listen, a good conscience will help you to rejoice. When your conscience is nipping at you and your conscience is ragging you and your conscience is putting you down and your own conscience won't let you sleep right, it's pretty difficult to rejoice. So we get that taken care of, and then it's just a matter of rejoicing regardless. And if we suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are we. And when we are going through things like that, and lost people look at us, or backslidden Christians look at us, or younger Christians look at us, they admire the Christ that they see in us, if it's Christ they see in us. And that's the way we have to have it if we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do the way He wants it done. Well, and then sometimes us being happy, us being rejoicing Christians, is very crucial to conversion. What would happen tonight if God tapped you on the shoulder and said, "There's somebody that you love a whole lot. There's somebody you think much of. And they're not going to get saved unless they see in your life that Jesus has made a difference. That Jesus has taken you through the tough times. He's taken you past the heartache. He's taken you past the hurt. He's taken you past the sorrow. He's taken you past the losses. And you're still sold out to Jesus. I'm telling you, there's somebody watching you. Just like there was somebody's watching Lot when he failed. He failed. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. There's someone watching you tonight. In the book of Psalms, and this is the last place we'll take you tonight, I promise. The book of Psalms, a couple, three places there, but in the book of Psalms, chapter number 40. Psalms chapter number 40. Those pages turning like that would cause a modernist to have a heart attack. Music to preacher's ears. Psalms chapter 40. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. This, of course, the Bible tells us was written by David. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Remember when he did that for you? Remember when he did that? Verse number 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. When we allow the Holy Spirit of God to live his life without being hampered in our life, the difference between us and how we used to be, or how others still are perhaps, but just being more honest, the difference between what we are and what we used to be strikes fear into the hearts of some people. And they say, I don't understand this. I see what they have been through. I've watched them. I've inspected them. I've checked them out. And they're the real deal. And I don't know where I stand in relationship to that. That's what David's talking about. David said, he, the Lord, hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if someone came up to you after watching you go through some kind of a tragedy and said to you, what's the difference? Whatever it is you've got, I want. Whatever it is you have, I need. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? But it's crucial that they see a difference. If they see no difference, we have nothing to offer them. But when they see the difference, fear strikes them. And the Bible says many will be saved. Psalms chapter 126. Psalms chapter 126. Beginning in verse number 1, this, of course, is the recipe for witnessing. This is one of the songs of degrees that we are talking about, that we've been preaching, but it says here, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Oh, my goodness. And so we find that the Bible testifies that some will fear and others will fathom. Others will say, as they look at our lives, they'll say, God has done wonderful things for them. And then, of course, we have to agree. God has done wonderful things for us. Let's read that again. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. We need tonight to have the Lord Jesus living his life so free in our lives that people see us and say, wow. You go to a high school reunion. I've been to several since I've been a Christian. I saw the boy that was most likely to succeed. Lost his driver's license, got in a big jam because of driving drunk. I don't know where he's at now.
But I'm glad that I have Jesus instead of the riches that he went to school with. They've got to be able to see a difference. And rejoicing in times of sorrow, rejoicing in times of heartache, is one of the greatest differences they can see. And then let's back up again in Psalms to chapter number 51. And we know this is David weeping his way back to the Lord after committing heinous sin. And we get down to verse number 12. He says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." David said, if you could just make me Lord again, as happy as I once was and as happy as I ought to be, the result of that would be people getting saved. It counts up. It adds up. And we don't know how many other people God's using in their lives in another place. Nor do we know how many people the devil's using in their lives in another place. And when we think about that, we just have to understand that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we just need to live for Christ Jesus and let God take care of all that other stuff. Well, I know that when you get to thinking about being a joyous Christian and really letting your light shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, you get to thinking about all those things and talking about them, and somebody somewhere will think and sometimes even say it out loud, "But you don't understand." And that's true. I probably don't. I probably don't. And I don't want to lay out my life compared to your life. My Bible tells me that comparing ourselves amongst ourselves, we're not wise. I just know this. Christ is what we need. Christ is all we need. And Christ will meet our needs if we allow him to. And so let me just give you some thoughts that will maybe eliminate some excuses. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, and you don't have to turn there. The Bible says, "But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be ye troubled." We already read that one time before. And so the Bible says, you know, if you get in trouble because you're serving God, just be happy about it. Don't be careless about it. Don't be reckless about it. Don't be foolish about it. But if you're doing what's right and you get in trouble for it, turn that over to God and rejoice in it. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 14 says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of Christ resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified." And then in John chapter 13 and verse number 17, our Savior said these short words, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." And when you take all that and wrap it up, you lay it down in a jail cell in Philippi, lay it down between the Apostle Paul and Silas, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. Father, you see much.